And it doesn't really kind of, you could pick up a seed. Anyone could experience a seed that's coming from the other.
Well, we're in problems of metaphors, aren't we? Because at risk of getting myself into complete tangle, notions of number belong to the objective dimension of the world. We can differentiate two things. We can see them as similar, and differentiate them, see they're similar, and count them as two. But can you really do that, as it were, in respect of the subjective dimension of experience? Number doesn't really belong to the subjective dimension of experience. That doesn't mean that it's one. It means that those notions don't really sort of get a purchase on that aspect of experience. So I think it's a bit like how the question, the understandable and natural question, how do two people interrelate, arises when you talk about these things. In the same way, you know, the question of whether there's one or two alias doesn't really work.
So is that the same for the six senses and the planet?
Well, obviously, what happens is that in the course of this process, you do differentiate a sense of I as separate is differentiated. And it discriminates particular experiences, so that the whole function of this cycle is to differentiate and discriminate. So it steps then into the world of space and time and of number and so forth. But later Yogacara tried to deal with this by differentiating between the absolute and relative alias. So the absolute alia is the alia conceived of as something that stands outside time and number. The relative alia is your particular little corner of the alia, which out of which you in particular emerge. Putting it rather simply, but I think that because what we're doing is we're stretching words to their very limits and concepts to their very limits. So actually, I think there are all sorts of philosophical problems with the whole Yogacara position, which I tend to resolve by saying, never mind, it seems to have a big effect when you try to think this way, if you see what I mean. If you try to pin it all down too much, you get into horrible difficulties, like, you know, if there's only one alia, how come, you know, I'm talking to you? Yeah.
But so if the alia, you said that the other time the kind of made some kind of, well, there seems to be a mistake that the alia was seen as transcendental. But
yeah.
Does the alia contain all the Buddha seeds and the bodhicitta? And
in one conception, in a later conception, it does. Yeah. Yeah.
In this,
it's much more. Vasubandhu is an Abhidharmist, so he was as it were brought up on. The major schools of Hinayana Abhidharma, psychological philosophy, and absolutely brilliant in that. And he's clearly trying to apply the same kind of systematizing influence to the Yogacara. And so the angle that he's coming from, in my reading anyway, is much more closer to the common sense ideas of psychology and even philosophy in a certain way than later Yogacara, which gets much more speculative and metaphysical. It's not an especially metaphysical doctrine at this stage. Metaphysical questions arise, you've just asked one, but in a way, you know, that at this stage Vasubandhu is saying, just never mind, try to get the whole model first of all and see how it helps you to work with your own mental states and so on. Not a happy.
Really lost me now.
Yeah.
If those things aren't in the alia, if there's not Buddha seeds and the potential of bodhicitta also in the alia as well as everything else, then I don't understand that diagram at all. Sorry, but I'm not.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that
Well, again, this is an issue, an interesting issue in all Buddhist doctrine, that the doctrine of pratityasamuppada, of conditioned arising, says nothing about causes. It's simply about the progression of events, so to speak. So, you know, when you look at the 12 nidana chain, something that often arises for people is, how can you get out? There's nothing in there that sort of suggests an extra impulse that takes you beyond the cycle itself. It simply says that at the point of Vedana, of dukkha, you either go to Trishna or you go to whatever else it is. What is it? Shraddha. It doesn't sort of say why or how or what is it that lifts you up. And that's why I think that later Yogacara, and then especially Tathagatagarbha, try to introduce a notion of something within reality that, so to speak, was a pressure towards enlightenment. Otherwise, it's as if there's no way out. There's only a conditioned chain. I don't think it actually is a problem philosophically, but I think it is a problem psychologically, that it's very easy to see these sort of systems as closed systems.
Well, I only see it as a closed system if the bodhicitta is in the
alia. Okay, well, then the bodhicitta's in the alia. But so is hell.
Yeah.
It still doesn't really explain why you get the bodhicitta rather than the hell, but that's another matter.
So is this basically just a purely psychological diagram, and it doesn't include anything transpersonal? Is it just...
Yeah, yeah. It's often said that the Yogacarans, the Yogacara emerged principally from meditation experience. The Yogacarans Yogacara probably originated in Kashmir, and at that time Kashmir was apparently noted for its meditators. So the doctrine seems to have been primarily developed by people who are meditating deeply as a way of getting them to reflect upon their experience. So it's not an attempt to explain everything in a certain way.
Sure, but is it kind of moving towards a place of, well, you know, okay, so we're dealing with this now, which is the psychological. Is it kind of moving towards the kind of bringing in the spiritual thing? Or?
No, I didn't understand, sorry.
I'm just thinking, in relation, for instance, to, you know, like a Buddhist or somebody who's interested in spiritual growth.
Right.
How they, you know... if there's anything within the Yogacara which brings, you know, is kind of basically directing somebody towards enlightenment.
Yes, yeah. At the moment, we're simply building the model. Yeah. Roughly speaking, yesterday we were doing ontology, today we're doing psychology, and tomorrow we'll be doing epistemology, and the next day we'll be doing soteriology. You can all feel very happy about that. The first thing, we're dealing with a sort of rough metaphysical perspective, which is that everything is just experience. Today we're dealing with how that happens. Tomorrow we're going to be looking at what the difference is between enlightenment and unenlightenment from this view. And the next day we'll look at how that works out as a pattern and path. I probably should have said that at the beginning yesterday, shouldn't I?
That helps a lot.
Yeah. Point taken. Yeah. Today we're just trying to get a model of how consciousness works, so that we can see how you move consciousness in the direction of enlightenment. Alia? Anything else on Alia? Sufficiently vaguely clear? And in a sense, it really can't be more than that. In a certain way, it's simply a kind of model to, not explain, but to expound karma. It simply offers a concept that transmits or demonstrates the transmission of past actions into present experience. But I think there's a bit more to it than that, because it does seem to me that there is a definite sense of something deeper in your consciousness. or beneath your consciousness, which, from the Yogacara point of view, is what you seize upon as I. And that, to me, is a quite original a contribution of this particular approach. I found that quite liberating, actually, because you know, in doing those sort of exercises, like the Skanda exercises and so forth, where you reflect on the contents of experience, there's still something sort of unexplained, which is almost more emotional than anything. And I think this gives you some kind of grasp of what that is.
So, isn't this just a model
of
the Heart Sutra?
Well, in a way, the Heart Sutra is taking a quite different tack. It's sort of taking the tack that all this model building is a load of nonsense and just misleads you, and just get to the heart of the matter. The Yogacara is saying, yeah, that's all very well, but if you listen to the Heart Sutra, you can get spooked and feel that nothing really exists. So it's offering a more positivistic model, so that you can have some something for one's pathetic mind to grasp onto, and not get horribly depressed. I think it's a very, very interesting dialectic, which we dealt with quite a bit last time in the rambles. This dialectic between those aspects of Buddhist philosophy that are making sure that you do not hold any definite views, because those views are always partial, misleading, and so forth. And those aspects of Buddhist philosophy theory that are saying, yeah, that's all very well, but we need to understand because we need to act. And Yogacara is along the second line, although we will see tomorrow, those of you who survive, that they were very concerned not to completely kick out the Heart Sutra approach.